Last week we started a discussion, but we left off in the middle, about the egg matzahs on what to do with Shalosh Shudas. So maybe we'll continue on that theme. We'll begin tonight's learning with that theme. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah writes that there's a minig in Ashkenaz. The minig Ashkenaz is not like the minig Sfarad. The minig Ashkenaz is that they don't eat egg matzahs all the Pesach. The Beis Yosef writes in the Beis Yosef in his commentary on the Tur, and in the Mechaber in the Shulchan Aruch, he writes that the minig Sfarad is that the Gemara says that may teiris ei machmitzin. That's the top line on Daf Lamed Hei Mabeis. That if you mix flour with any one of the May Peres, it's not Bola de Chomet. That's the top line of the Gemara. So the minig in Sfarad was that they always ate the egg matzahs and matzahs with May Peres, no problem. It can't possibly turn into Chomet. The Ramah writes, both in the Darkei Moshe and in the commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, he writes that the minig Ashkenaz is not so, that we don't eat egg matzahs all the time. So the question is, why not? He doesn't give any reason. He just says we don't eat any egg matzahs. So the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch, the Rishonim already have, not the Rishonim, the early Achronim have a discussion of this. What was the source, what was the root of this minig Ashkenaz that later spread throughout Eastern Europe? It came from Germany and Austria, and it spread when the Jews moved to Poland, so they carried this minig with them, the minig Ashkenaz, not the egg matzah. So they give three different reasons for the minig. The one reason is that the Gemara says on Lamed Vavam and Aleph that you're not yotzei the mitzvah of matzah on Leil Pesach by the Seder unless you have lechem oinim. If you use matzah shiva, it's no good. If you're going to have egg matzahs around the house, so somebody may make a mistake and think that he can use it for Leil HaSeder, just like it happens in America every single year. That Manischewitz manufactures 20 tons of egg matzahs, and they sell it all over the world, and a lot of Jews use egg matzahs for their Seder. And the Gemara says that you're not allowed to use egg matzahs for the Seder, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. That the mitzvah of matzah and Leil Pesach is only fulfilled with its lechem oinim. Matzah shiva is no good. But because they were concerned in Ashkenaz, they were afraid that someone may be in Am Haaretz, and he may think that if this is matzah, and the mitzvah teach matzah lel Pesach, so he'll use the matzah shiva on Pesach night. So they made a minig. They don't allow any egg matzahs or any matzahs that may pay with the whole Pesach. Right. According to the Rambam, right. Right, the Sfardim are not concerned, right? The Beis Yosef writes, that's how we started. Beis Yosef writes that you're permitted to eat egg matzahs on Pesach, full Pesach, no problem. No. For the Seder, he doesn't quote that Rambam. We know that the Rambam's opinion is only the four mashkim that are mentioned in the Gemara, for whatever reason it may possibly be. Only Yayin Shem and Dvash and Cholav. And other mashkim do not make, other meiteris mixed in with water do not create the problem of matzah shir. That's the Rambam sheet. We'll get to discuss a little more with that Rambam, with the Avnei that we spoke about yesterday. But that's not even mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. They don't even mention that. The Beis Yosef goes with the Shita Shara Rishonim. There were other Sfaradish Rishonim aside from the Rambam. The Rambam wasn't the only Sfaradish Rishonim. So all the other Sfaradish Rishonim assume that all May Peris make Matzah Shir, and it's no good. But the Beis Yosef entertained such an idea. You should make a Gzera that you're not allowed to use egg matzah, the whole Pesach HaGzera Shema, lest they'll use it for Leil HaSeder. Yes, they said, what kind of, in America we see, they put on the box the matzahs, egg matzahs, and they put in Hebrew, not the beers on Chanukah, and the people don't read Hebrew, and even if it would be in English, they would use it anyway, matzahs on matzahs, so they would use it. But in the days of the early Achrenim, in the 1200s and the 1300s, when they started this minig, they didn't have such kind of people who were such Amaratzim. They weren't so learned, but they would understand. You can eat it on Pesach, potatoes. You can eat potatoes on Pesach. You can't eat, use it for Leil HaSeder. Just because you call it matzah. It looks like a matzah. So what? They'll understand. Matzah shiri can't use it. So that's questionable. Whether that's, you make an Issa all 8 days of Pesach, you're not allowed to eat egg matzah, unless someone's going to forget and use it for the sake. So there are a lot of people who don't like that tam. So they give a different tam. Based on the tastes. On the tastes of Alam and Hamad based. When do you say that May Peris, Emach Mitzim? That's only if you only have May Peris mixed into the flour. But what happens is you mixed into the flour May Peris with water. Oh, then it's an undermeister. Then the Gemara says on Lamed Vav Amid Aleph that not only is it machmitzim, it's memahir lahachmitz. Usually when you mix flour and water, so the Gemara says earlier, if it sits for less than 18 minutes, nothing will happen. And if it sits for more than 18 minutes, then we're going to think about it. It has to sit for a couple of hours. It has to sit for a long time till it's going to begin to become chametz. So, but if you mix in may peris with water, then it's memahir lahachmitz, ad kidei kach, then you may be looking at it and may turn into chametz under your nose without you even realizing it, and you may be eating chametz on Pesach. So that's what the Tanoim all agree, that you ain't loshin es ha'yistah b'may peris. That's on Lamed Vav Menal. You're not allowed to make mixed flour with may peris, Pesach non pshat, if it's may peris with water. Why? Because it's going to be memahir lahachmitz. The shad is, what if the yevet, if you went ahead and you mixed flour, Pesach, kosher Pesach, flour, with may peris, with water, so the chatzchil you shouldn't do, but you went ahead and you did it on Pesach, so what should you do? So one Tana says, you saw it from Yad, you have to burn it right away because we're afraid that a mamish became chametz under your nose and you didn't realize it. And some Rishonim passed like that Tana, you saw it from Yad. The other Tanaim disagree, no, that not you saw it, you have to bake it right away, watch it carefully, bake it quickly, but the chatzchil, everybody agrees that you're not allowed. So that's the second reason that they give for the Isser of the Ramor, why you're not allowed to make egg matzahs on Pesach or any matzah ashira. You're not allowed to make any matzahs with may peris on Pesach. The hashash is that maybe by mistake, even though they're egg matzahs, they don't mix in any water. They only have apple cider with eggs. Or this new matzah that they're selling now has wine with the eggs in it. It doesn't have any water. But the hashash is maybe by mistake they'll have a little water. Maybe they'll make a mistake and they'll mix some water.
The wine would be okay.
What do you mean the wine would be okay?
If you use the wine instead of the water,
That was like this. Some say there's a hash. The Morgan Avram has the following discussion. What if you have a tiny little bit of water? They have apple cider, but they washed off the apples before they made the apple cider. So let's say there's a little moisture, a few droplets on the surface of the apple will go into the apple cider. So do you have to worry about a few droplets? It's not bottled the elef. You have 1,000 times more may peris than you have the water. So this seems to be a steer in the mechaber. In the same simon, one sif and then 2-3 sifim later, there's a steer. What about the tiny droplets of water? So the Magen Avraham quotes, the sum of the teretzes, it depends, a lot of water, a little water, a tiny little bit of water, there's a garnish. Some say you have to have shishim against the tiny water, some say you don't even need shishim, but l'maisa we have elef against it. What is it to worry about? And the later, when the Mechaber says, if you mix in, if a little bit of water got mixed in, it doesn't mean a little bit, it means a significant amount of water, less than 50%, but it's a significant amount of water, so then it will be memahir lahachmitz. And then the Magen Avraham quotes Amri Shainim Hussein, and that's how the Baal HaTanya passes in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, like that opinion quoted by the Magen Avraham, that there's a difference between wine as opposed to other meitaris. But if you have wine and a little bit of water mixed in to the wine at an early stage of the development of the wine, then it becomes wine. It blends, it all becomes yayin mazu. It blends in to become a chelik of the wine. So that will not be considered may peris with water, that's going to be memayil lahachmitz. That's all may peris and there's no problem. But all other may peris, if you'll mix in maybe even a little bit of water, maybe you do have to be concerned. So that's a machlokes achrayim. So maybe that wine is less of a problem in this area. If you have a little bit of water mixed into the wine, maybe it's different. That's, of course, if in the early stages of making the wine, the water was mixed in. Let's say now they have flour, and they mix in wine, they pour in wine, and they pour in water. So then it's going to be may peris with water that is memayil lahachmitz. You don't say that whenever you have wine mixed with water, the wine swallows up the water and all becomes wine. You say in an early stage. Before the lisha. Way before. Before the lisha, if it was sitting for a long time, then the wine takes over the water. It gives the water also the sharp flavor of wine, and everything is considered wine. The wine swallows up the water, it all becomes dino kiyai. But if you just mix in the wine with the water bishas lisha, then the person say, then wine is going to be the same as other meter. So this is the second tam that the achrayim give for this minig. They're trying to guess what's the reason for the minig ashkenaz that they didn't allow eating matzah shira the whole Pesach, only for cholim miskenim. But otherwise, you don't allow eating matzah shira the whole Pesach. So the second time is, even though it's made with may peris, we're always choshish, maybe there's a little bit of water. If he holds a little bit of water, it doesn't mean anything. So maybe there's more than a little bit of water. Maybe he made a mistake. Maybe there's a lot of water. We didn't see it. It's only a hashash. For real, alibademis, we know that there is no water. So mikarad din, it's mutter, just a chumrah. So this is what the chumrah is based on. Avait loifik a hashash, that maybe a significant amount of water fell in, and it's made perish with mine, which is my lachman, to sigur fellow. And other acharedim hold that cannot be the tamida. What do you mean? We're watching. We have mashgichim, they're watching that no water got mixed in, or there was water. It's batel b'shishim, it's batel b'elef. So what are you worried about? So the third time that the person give is that v'chayshish v'shitas Rashi. Then on this Gemara, there was a theory between two Gemaras. On Lamed Hey, we discussed it last week, I think. I don't remember. On Lamed Hey, on the base, on the top line, the Gemara says, M'sochem ei peiris ei machmitzim. On Lamed Vavam and Aleph, the Gemara quotes the Braisa that made peiris, not only are they machmitz, they're memahel ha-achmitz. They will hasten the chomitz, the chimutz process. May happen so quickly, less than 18 minutes. It may happen under your nose and you won't even realize what happened. So, Sachastira Gluya here, it says on the top line, may parents will not make comments. And here it says it's Mimala Hachman. So, Tesis and all the Rishonim say that the simple parents is, it depends whether it's may parents alone or it's may parents with water. May parents alone, you have juices, ciders alone, with the flour that you can sit all day and all night for 10 days in a row. It will not become common. But if you have made peiris with water, then somehow this combination is worse than water alone. It's memar lahachmas. It will become common quicker. That's how most of the Rishon say. That's how Taisa points out. But Taisa starts off by quoting Rashi on Lama Development Aleph. Taref is the steer differently. Rashi says it's not true. Rashi says that chimut is a process. It doesn't happen in a split second. It's not that until a certain point, the flour with the water is matzah. If you bake it, it'll be matzah. And then if you wait a second later, boom, it's already chametz. No, it takes a long time. It takes a long time till it begins to be anything. It's not 18 minutes. It takes a long time, more than 18 minutes. And then after the 18 minutes, an hour or two later, so then the chametz process begins. And then it takes a long time till the chametz process ends. And the Gemara later, the Mishnah later, on Mem Ches on the days, speaks about this process. At the beginning of the process, is called Seor, Shin Yud Aleph Vav Resh. It's not what it says in the Chumash, Seor. Seor in the Chumash means the sour dough, the dough, that's the yeast. But this is Seor, this is Lashon HaTanaim. It says Seor means when the flour with the water is sitting so long that the chimutz process began. And if it sits even longer that the chimutz process has completed, then it's called Siduk. Sedek is a crack. So it's called Siddiq because when you have the dough and it rises, and then it keeps on rising until it cracks on the top. So that's called Siddiq. So there's a Machlekes HaTanoim between Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Meir and the Mishnah and the Gemara there, Ezehu Seyor Ezehu Siddiq. When is the beginning of the process? One Tana says this, and the other Tana says, no, you got another hour to go. The other one says, when is the end of the process? This, and he says, no, that's Seyor. That's the beginning of the process. The end of the process is a Gor, another hour later. So there's a Machlekes, where do you draw the line? When is it? Like we said, there's a machlekes that we mentioned last week, machlekes of Yechon and Benuri, and the Chachamim regarding Oiriz V'doiche, whether rice is from the Chameshus Mine Dogen or not. So the Gemara says that there's a criterion. What determines whether something is Dogen or not, whether it's Hamoitzi, whether it's Lechem, whether it's Matz, whether it's Chayim Chalach, whatever grain is Bole Dechimut, if you would mix it with water and let it sit, the chemical reaction would be chimutz, so that's called dogon, so that's lechem, and that's hamoitzi, and that's matzah, and that's hafroshes chal, and alagutazach. Whatever grain you mix with water, and the chemical reaction will be sirchon, so that's not. So what's the machlekes of Yechem and Nuri and Rabban? Why didn't they experiment and find out? So Yishami says they did experiment, and they saw the results, and they argued, where do you draw the line? What's called chimutz, and what's called sirchon? So similar to the machlekes of Yechon Menuhin and the Rabbanon regarding Oriz V'dechon, such a similar machlekes HaTanaim here, Rameir Rav Yudah, Mem Chesam and Beis. When you have the grain sitting with water long enough, then the chimutz process begins. If it sits even longer, then the chimutz process is completed. So what's the point that's called the beginning, that before that is mamish garnish, megarnish is matzah, and what's the point that's called the end? So that's a machlokes HaTanaim. One Tana says that this is the beginning, he says no, that's the end. The other Tana says that's the beginning, he says no, that's still matzah. They argue, what? They all know what the facts are, but they're arguing, where do you draw the line? What's called chimutz and what's not even the beginning of chimutz? So Rashi comes to Farem for this theory between the two Gemaras on Lamed Hey Amid Beis, on Lamed Vav and Aleph. What's the story with the Mei Peres? So he says that Mei Peres Eimach Mitzim means it can never become Koritz. So this line in the Gemara is to explain a Memra and Amid Aleph. That if you mix Mei Peres with water and it sits there for a long time and you eat it, you will never be Chayv Koritz on paper. So why not? The Gemara says, because Mei Peres Eimach Mitzim. So the Rashi learns Pshat, it's Eimach Mitzim to be Chayv Koritz. It means it'll never come to the completion of the process. But the beginning of the process, not only will it reach the beginning stages, it'll even reach the beginning stages before 18 minutes. It'll be Memaher Lahachmitz, in the sense, it's Memaher to reach the beginning stage of Seyor. But the Gemara, the end of the stage, it'll never reach. That's how Rashi parenthesis the Gemara. So all the Rishonim disagree with Rashi. So some Achronim say that must be the reason for the Minig Ashkenaz. That the Chosh is for Rashi. Practically, why do you have to go Kriyat and say it's a Gzeir that you may use the egg matzah on Pesach night for the Seder? Or the Achashash that it may have water mixed in which case it's Mimai Lahachmitz and Gorgefeller? No. They push it. B'Chosh is Lahatchila, B'Chosh is for Rashi Shita. Yikaradin, we don't pass, like Rashi. So if it's only May Paris without water, it can sit all day long and it won't be chometz. But as a minig, as a chumra, as a minig, so we're choshish for Rashi Shita lachatchila, then maybe the May Paris without any water is Memaya lachmet. It'll be chometz nuksha. According to Rashi, it'll be chometz nuksha. So now the Achreinim have a whole discussion. So Lamaisa, there's a minig Ashkenaz, Shank. By the Sfardim, they never had the minig. Whatever the reason is, A, B, C, all the three reasons, the Sfardim didn't have the minig. The Bessiosa says they always ate egg matzahs on Pesach, and there's no problem. Pesach, Erev Pesach, no problem. The minig Ashkenaz was they didn't have egg matzahs. So the Shaila is, what about on Erev Pesach? This minig, it's not a real deal. Baharai, it's only a chumra baharai, that the Ramah says, Mutar l'chayla muskena. So you see that? And it doesn't mean achayla she'ezh b'sakana, and it doesn't even mean achayla she'ein b'sakana. The Redinim in Hilchas Shabbos, that sometimes you're permitted to violate the surim, the rabbanon, when you have a situation to take medication, pe'eskan nochri, amir liyakum, and other coolers are permitted, b'mach m'chayla she'ein b'sakana. But achayla she'ein b'sakana has a definition. Achayla she'ein b'sakana means either achayla kol gufo, or a mutal mishka. One or the other means that he has some kind of a condition that prevents them from functioning normally. But then you're permitted to ask, Amir Eliyakum are permitted to take medication to gain relief from the situation that he should be able to function normally. Here the Ramah says, Acholim Uzikainim are permitted to eat the egg matzah. He doesn't say you have to be Achole, that you can't function normally, not for the Mishka, Muta the Mishka, or something like that. And only eating the egg matzah is going to save his condition. It just means, as a person say, his teeth don't function anymore, and he can't chew hard matzah. Hot and ish can pray. So either he's going to fast, or he's going to eat the egg matzah. So we say, let him eat the egg matzah. Right? We're not machmas so much. He's not talking about a choyle sheyesh b'sakon. It's not even talking about a choyle sheyesh b'sakon. So obviously it's only
a... certainly not chobot.
Obviously it's not chobot. So the whole thing is clearly...
Otherwise have it in the house.
Oh, so obviously you can't have it in the house if it's chobot, right? So the thing is clearly just a minig. Mikra Adin is Zichamutta. And that's why you don't need chayla, such a big chayla to be makel. So the shayla is, when you're dealing with such a minig, what about Erev Pesach? Erev Pesach, after Chatzais, there's an Issa deraisa to eat chametz, but there's no koritz. If you eat chametz on Pesach, there's an Einish of koritz. If you eat chametz Erev Pesach after Chatzais, the Raman passes like the Tana that there's an Issa lav. Raman passes like Rav Yudah. The Gemara has on Chavches, Machlegs Rav Yudah and Rav Shimon. So the Raman passes like Rav Yudah, that on Erev Pesach there's an Issa lav. And the Raivit and the other Rishonim ask on the Raman is very shver. Why did he pass like Rav Yudah? He should have passed like Rav Shimon. Based on the simple Pshat of the Gemara, he should have passed like Rav Shimon that there's no Issa lav, but there's only an Issa resed. That it says in the Torah, that by the second half of the day you have to see to it that you've gotten rid of all of your chametz, and if you're going to go and eat it, tashbisu means to destroy it, not to eat it. If you're going to go ahead and eat it, so this will be an isa resi of tashbisu. So to eat chametz on Erev Pesach in the afternoon is an isa deraisa, either an isa resi or an isa lav, depending on the machlekes of Yud and Reb Shimon and the Afchav Ches, and the machlekes of the Rambam and the Rabbis. But for sure, there's no Isur Karis. Karis is only if you eat it on Pesach proper. If you eat chametz in the morning from 10 o'clock on, that's not even an Isur Deraita, that's an Isur Derabbanan. There are the Rabbanan, that if you allow people to eat chametz after 10 o'clock, they may make a mistake and eat the chametz in the afternoon, at which time it's already an Isur Deraita. So the question is, to what extent did the Minig Ashkenaz prohibit eating this egg matzah? The Ramah has the Minig. Did they only institute the Minig on Pesach, or did the Chumer even apply to Erev Pesach? And maybe you should be mechag. Maybe the Chumer only applies Erev Pesach in the afternoon, when Chometz is constituted in Isur Deraita. But he shows the Rabbanon from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock, maybe that's only the Rabbanon, so maybe the Minig never applied over there. So that's the Shaila. So the Chelkas Yoyov has a Ha'ore, has a footnote on a Tshuva. We were discussing this in Yeshivas. I thought this was a double Poshut. And then I came upon the Chelkas Yoyov. I didn't see it in the rest. Chelkas Yoyov has the following Ha'ore in his Tshuva. Chelkas Yoyov was a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. Pretty recent. As the Talmud of the Avnei Nezer, son, Chelek Arachayim Simen Tezayin, he has the following Ha'ore, which I thought was very good. We have a minig, not Ashkenaz, has a minig that we don't eat kidneys. By the Sfarim that do eat kidneys. The Gemara says you're allowed to eat rice on Pesach, no problem. Now there's a problem, the rice is enriched. In America, the rice is enriched, and they enrich it with grain. So the rice may have a tamkik or a real chametz of the rice. I used to have Iranian neighbors, boys that were learning in the yeshiva, and their minig was that they ate rice on Pesach. So they used to buy the rice, and then they used to eat it on Pesach. And then they were surprised to find out that the rice in America is not the same rice we in the Alpehay. The rice in America may have real chametz dagen gomer in it, because they enrich it with No, you have to cut off in the ground. They mix in chametz dagen gomer to give it, right?
What do you
rice? I'm sorry, I'm just messing. They add on a flavoring from grain. They add on chametz dagen gomer into the wheat. From wheat into the rice. So then when you cook the rice in your pot, you're cooking the grain also, and then it's sitting there for an hour or two. And it's hot. When you cook it, it doesn't take 18 minutes when it's cooked. It's faster. When it's warm, it goes faster.
That's only rice, not other kidneys.
No, other kidneys, they don't enrich. Right. They're balach, they don't enrich.
So
the Sfardim don't have such a meaning not to eat rice, unless the chashash comes, they're not going to eat chametz. But that's a religious fact. So kidney is by the Sfardim is mutter, the Gemara says kidney is mutter. And the minig Ashkenaz is that we don't allow kidneys on Pesach. So the Shaila is, what about on Erev Pesach? Is there a minig not to eat kidneys on Erev Pesach or not? So the Chelkas Yoyov quotes the Supreme Gaon, says the Farish, that there's no minig lesser kidney. It's interesting, it doesn't say before the days of the Supreme Gaon. No one ever discussed it. But Supreme Gaon writes, he writes Kamadumali, he thinks that he saw it. I remember seeing it in the Supreme Gaon. I didn't look it up this year, but I remember the Supreme Gaon. He quotes like that. He thinks it's I didn't look it up to see if that's the right simon, but I remember there is such a Supreme Gaon where he says the Farish that kidneys on Erev Pesach is not shash. Take for example, why? Because kidneys is only a chumrah. So the chumrah is a minig, nitam chumrah. So the minig lahachma was only when there's an isur karis. And Erev Pesach, there's no isur karis, even if it's an isur deraisa. After chatzos, but they didn't introduce the minig. Let's go more chumrah than kidneys. Mashu. Chametz b'pesach is b'mashu. That's medina de gemara. That's machlokes in the gemara. But the chametz is the same as all other macholos asuras. That is bottled with shishim. Or you say no, that chametz, even if you have shishim, even if you have elef, chametz is the mashu, chametz b'tesach is the mashu, cannot be mevatlet. So what's the din if the chametz gets mixed in on Erev Pesach after chatzos? When the chametz is an isa deraisa, either an isa lava or an isa rese, and it gets mixed in and you have shishim, but if it would be Pesach, it would be the mashu. So on Erev Pesach, there's a machlek is the Rambam and all the other Rishon, where the Chometz is the Mashu. The Rambam Shita is the Chometz is the Mashu, even on Erev Pesach. And the Shulchan Aruch, we pasken against the Rambam. We don't follow the Rambam, we follow the Shita of the other Rishon, that the Chumra of Chometz, the Mashu, only applies on Pesach proper when Chometz is the Koreis. So Mishum Chumra the Koreis, that's what prompts you to say that it should be the Mashu.
For example, like you said, at the time that they were bringing the carbon pesach, everybody in the Kabura had to be free of the
Real chametz, real chametz. This is not real chametz. The chametz is bavatul. The chametz is bavatul. The natayra chametz for sure is bavatul b'shishi. It's just the Gemara has a chumra and that's lama and manas. Gemara has a chumra mid the rabbanon. That would be shum chumra the chametz. It's more chametz than other isurim. So we say it's not even bavatul b'shishi. It's b'mashu. So most of the rishonim hold that's how we pass in the shulchan aruch that chametz b'mashu is only on paper. And their face of comments is dropped. So just a big pilpul in Achreinim. This comes up sometimes. The pilpul in Achreinim. What if the chametz got mixed in on Pesach and it's b'mashehu, so you're not allowed to eat it, and then you save it till next Pesach. What's the din? What's the din? Do you treat it like chametz in his bottle? Kodem HaPesach. We're dealing chametz tavshin nun hey avolein until next year. So the chametz was in bottle this year. The chametz fell in on Pesach this year. It happens every year, this Shaila. No one's going to save the chametz from one year to the other, but it happens every single year. Somebody calls me up at this Shaila that the wife went away, whatever, on Chol HaMoed, and the husband had to fry his own eggs when he came home. And he forgot, and he took the chametz dik frying pan. So the chametz dik frying pan is Zayna ben Yoyma. It hasn't been used for chametz. Shabbos and the first day Yom Tov and the second day Yom Tov are holding Chol HaMoed. It's already 2-3 days after it hasn't been used for chametz. So klish ain't a ben yoimai never makes anything trade except for chametz b'pesach because it's called b'mashu. There are more passages like that. But since chametz b'pesach is b'mashu, even a klish ain't a ben yoimai is also considered mashu. So he fries the eggs in the pan. So the chametz as is b'mashu. So he's not allowed to eat the egg. So he throws out the egg. So the shaila is though, but he was using a pesach zika spoon to stir the eggs in it. That much seichel he knew. He didn't remember what frying pan to take. But he used a peso dicker spoon, so you have to kasha the peso dicker spoon. So if you want to have enough spoons to live till the end of peso. So what if he's prepared to put away the spoon in a bag and to save it till next year? Does he still have to kasha it for next year before he wants to use the next year? Or do you say, no, meretach mashahu. So till it's going to come Pesach of tavshin nun hey, you'll say it was a mashahu kaitim Pesach. It was mashu before Pesach, but it was mashu on Pesach on Tavshin Nun Dalet. But these say since it was chametz, the latest hatsofik, the bliya was on Pesach. If the chametz Pesach mashu, you stop. You have to kasha the spoon. But he say no. Before it'll come Pesach of next year, that's batal b'shishim. So that's a big machlekes achreinim. That's a machlekes Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Heshiv Moshe. They call it. The Chacham Tzvi has a different thing. Yeah, that any trefa kli, if you wait a year, yeah. There's no need to kasha. So Meikar Adin, we don't follow the Chacham Tzvi. No, Meikar Adin, we don't pass on like the Chacham Tzvi. The Hasidim just rely on that for Gibrok. Right. So they're not right. So the Gemara says you don't have to be so medactic about the year. The Gemara says when it gets to Sam Yena. The Gemara has that din. The Chacham Tzvi didn't invent it. The Gemara has it been a get to Sam Yenam. Yishun Yud Beis Chodesh has been a get to Sam Yenam. If you have barrels of wine that were holding Goyisha wine manufactured by Nochrim, so you're not allowed to drink it. But Goyisha wine is only awesome in the Rabbana. We're not talking about Yai Nesach that was poured in front of Avodah Zarah. That's an Issa Deraisa. We're talking the Nochrim manufactured wine. So they asked it in the Rabbana for whatever reasons they asked it. So Stam Yenam is Osma de Rabbanon because of a Hashash Rochek. So the Gemara says that that's an Issa de Rabbanon cow. There are other Issa de Rabbanon, let's say Basa B'chol de Rabbanon, chicken with milk. That's a real bona fide Issa de Rabbanon. Stam Yenam is a Psah Hashash Rochek. So the Gemara has a lot of coolers in Stam Yenam that don't apply in other cases. So that's what most of the Pasim say against the Chacham Tzvi. That the Gemara says if you have barrels that contain Stam Yenam, and then you emptied out the barrels and they were not used for 12 months, so the Gemara calls it Yishun Yud Beis Chodesh. They were sitting and getting old for 12 months and not being used. The Gemara says if it was used for 12 months, so then whatever Treif Yibliya was there certainly vanished into thin air, and you can use it now for kosher wine and you don't have to kasher the barrel. So the Chacham Tzvi took that Gemara and he applied it to Kol HaTorah Kulo. He has a few conditions. So the most cases, the Chacham Tzvi holds that any treif of bliya that was sitting in the kli, and the kli wasn't used for 12 months, so you don't have to kasher the kli.
Dishes,
right. And all of the other, most of the poskim disagree with the Chacham Tzvi, and they say no, that it's only a special kula in Stam Yenim that doesn't apply in Kol HaTar Kula in any other case of trade. But the Mitzarek, the Chacham Tzvi, if you have others, Nifim Lohakal said the Mitzarek, it's so by Gibrok. The Chassidim are Nizim Gibrok, so it's only a Chumr to begin with, and the Misnagdim don't even have the Chumr. And the Chassidim who don't eat Gibrok, but on the last day Pesach, they go out of the way, Bedavke to eat Gibrok, to demonstrate that it's only a Chumr. That's what I think the Bnei Yisoscha says, that there shouldn't be Ma'ir Kitrug by their being Nizim and Gibrok. They don't want to be Ma'ir Kitrug on the other less observant Jews who do eat Gibrok. So they want to demonstrate to the Bezna Shalmaila that the whole thing is only a Chumre. So on the last day Pesach, they eat the Gibrok to show that Nikra then it's really Muta. I said, those Chassidim who are Nizim, not only Gibrok and Nizim, and the dishes from Gibrok, the different minhagim. So some on these are not even to use kalim.
And then for next year, add new dishes.
New dishes. Okay. That's good. That's good. But most are
wooden dishes. Wooden dishes. There was a topic altogether. Uh-huh. Maybe that is the reason. The question: they use new dishes because they may not have porcelain dishes, they may have wooden dishes.
Mm-hmm. Isn't Achon Shul Pesach a different than the whole Pesach? What a decision.
Yeah, there's no din mashim.
No, that's why they go to sleep on a special Pesach, which you're passing all the Shabbos on Achron Shul Pesach.
Mm-hmm. That was the minig of Mary Haroi, yeah.
I think they make a chiluk it's a leap year.
Some make such a chiluk. But in the case in the Gemara, when the Gemara says that by Stam Yenom, if you have a kli that wasn't, a barrel that wasn't used for 12 months, then you can use it for kosher wine. So the Gemara says it doesn't have to be a full 12 months to the day. Moshe says, if you came to the next season, came to the next year, and it's a new season, so that's oil for 12 months. That's not to be so precise. So that's what most of the Hasidim are making, that they use the kalim for Gibrok nonetheless. They Pesach, and then when it comes next year, so they say that's called Yishon Yud Beis Chodesh. But just to rely on the Chacham Tzvi alone, they wouldn't do it. So that's a shaila. If someone, let's say, fried, like the case we said, someone fried the eggs on Pesach in the chamtzik, frying pan, and they were using a Pesach bigger fork, a Pesach bigger spoon. So the Pesach Dikir spoon has a bli of mashahu from the Kli Sheni Man Yoma on Pesach, but they're not going to use it this Pesach. The whole maduber is to use this spoon next Pesach with that hagola. So that's the machloikis achrenim. Rabbi Kibeg and other achrenim have the hepshu with the gun. Yeah. But it's only chamizdik based on a mashahu.
Yeah, but it's still chamizdik.
Right.
Okay, it's part of the, regardless of how it became chamizdik, it's chamizdik. It's like a
common
spoon,
like
any other
common spoon.
But it's not
Israel. So this Pesach, we're not allowed to use it.
Huh? Why? Just by the fact that 12 months so on doesn't make it any less common spoon than it was originally.
No, but it was only Mashahu that it became. And Mashahu Kaidim Pesach is bottle. Mashahu Kaidim Pesach is bottle. So the Mashahu was way before next Pesach. But that's a shayla, but it was on Pesach this year. So is that called Mashahu on Pesach? Or do you consider it vis-a-vis next Pesach of Mashahu Kedem HaPesach? That happens to be an issue with the Rabbanon, but it's a very lomdish shayla. It's a very lomdish shayla. This shayla is a very lomdish shayla. Rav Soloveitchik in his shiurim never spoke about this shayla. I don't know why. This comes up by me. It comes up all the time. People call me every Pesach with this shayla. The husband was frying the eggs. Every year someone calls up with this shayla. Rav Soloveitchik never discussed this, but in Yerideya there is a topic that Rav Soloveitchik discussed about this. Is there a cloud that ain bitul ela metchila sataruvis or not? That if it didn't become bottle, if the yeast didn't become bottle immediately, then it never becomes bottle later on, or there is no such cloud. So he understood the Yeriday that that's a machlokes harishonim. Is there such a cloud? That ain bitul ela metchila sataruvis. And we hear it's a machlokes achrenim on this. The achrenim happened to argue it out over here. The Heshiv Moshe, that's the Yismach Moshe. The Yismach Moshe, the Chassidish Rebbe, wrote Shuvis, that's called Heshiv Moshe. The Heshiv Moshe, that's what the Anun Garish Rav once told me years ago, that there were three Moshes in Hungary who lived at the same time. There was the Chassam Sefer, and the Maram Shik, his name is also Rav Moshe Shik, and the Yismach Moshe. So they told me that the people used to say a Melitza, a little joking Melitza. They said the Chassam Sefer used to sit and learn and Agiket. And the Yisrael HaMoshe did not learn, and he knew anyway. He knew Baruch HaKodesh, whatever, he was in Oisik and Chassidus, and he knew. And the Maram Shik has very good shuvas. A lot of people enjoy the Maram Shik's shuvas better than the Chassam Sofer's shuvas. I enjoy it better than the Chassam Sofer's. But they said in Hungary, they used to say, and the Maram Shik used to sit and learn at Mishkiken. They held in comparison to the Chassam Sofer and to the Yisbach Moshe, that are Galant and Mishkiken. Anyway, but that's the machlek is the Heishiv Moshe and Rebbe Kivega and this Shaila, that the Isash, that was Mashu on Pesach and want to use it next Pesach. So what's the din? Let's say there's a Chumra Medina the Gemara. The Gemara says a Chomet Pesach is b'mashu. What about Chomet Erev Pesach? So most of the Rishonim passing against the Rambam, that's what we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. The Chomet Erev Pesach is not b'mashu. So you see already two Chumras don't apply. The Chumra of Kitnius and the Chumra of Mashu don't apply Erev Pesach. Then he quotes, there's a Magen Avraham which the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote the whole. You look at the Mishnah Berurah, you wouldn't be able to figure it out. If you look at the Magen Avraham that the Mishnah Berurah is quoting, you see that that's what it says there. There's a chumra in Shulchan Aruch that if you have a matzah kfula, and you bake the matzah, if it's folded over in the oven, so we're choshish to treat it like chumis. Because maybe it folded over and the heat didn't have the ability to penetrate through and through, so maybe some of it didn't get fully baked, so it's chumis. So it's a chumra. So what about, so it's chumis. You're not allowed to eat chumis, not on Pesach, not on Er Pesach. So you're going to tell me that you're not allowed to eat this matzah kfula on Erev Pesach. So the Mishnah Berurah, of course, in the Magen Avraham, of course you're not allowed to eat Mi'ikar Adin, the Matzah Kfula is Matzah. It's only a Chumer that it's Mi'ikar Adin, it's Matzah. So Matzah you're not allowed to eat on Erev Pesach. But what if you're going to make Knedlach in the Matzah and it's going to be Matzah Muvushelis? So Matzah Muvushelis says in Shulchan Aruch, you're permitted to eat on Erev Pesach. Matzah Muvushelis is Matzah Shira. Just, if you use a cooked Matzah, you're not Yotzei to the Seder. Matzah Muvushelis is a form of Matzah Shira. But you're permitted to eat Knedlach on Erev Pesach, the Mishnah Berurah says. Even late in the afternoon, you're permitted to eat Knedlach. So what if I'll take this Matzah Kfula, and I'll make Matzah Mel out of it, and I'll make Knedlach? Am I permitted to eat it on Erev Pesach? So the Magen Avraham says, yes. Arbitach Matzah Kfula is Chometz. She says, no, it's only a Chumra that is Chometz. Mikra Adin is not Chometz. Mikra Adin is Matzah. So Mikra Adin, you're not allowed to eat it on Erev Pesach because it's Matzah. But if you grind it up and you make Knedlach out of it, then Allah HaLamayitah, the Magen Avraham says, you can eat it on Erev Pesach. Because the Chumra of Matzah Kfula was only introduced on Pesach, when Chometz is the curse. So that's what the Chelkas Yoev says, if you would ask me, what's the din?
You can make Knedlach from Matzah Shira too then.
Okay. Whenever you make Knedlach from anything, Knedlach HaKuk. Cooked, there's no Issa to eat. Matzah, the Erev Pesach, in the Shulchan Aruch it says, the Easter that you're not permitted to eat Matzah. And Erev Pesach is only such matzah which he could have used to be yotzei the mitzvah on Leil Pesach. But any matzah that's cooked is matzah ashira, and you couldn't be yotzei the mitzvah on Erev Pesach. Let's say a person has difficulty chewing, he can't chew the hard matzah. It's too hard. So it says in the Gemara, you can soak it in water. But you can only soak it in cold water. But you can't cook it. If you're going to cook it in hot water, then it's matzah muvashelet, then it's called matzah ashira, and it's no good. So if you have knedlach that will cook, so the Mishnah Berurah says the halacha ma'aseh, you're permitted to eat that on Erev Pesach. But you have to make sure the knedlach are Pesach dik, they can't be chametz dik. So if you made the knedlach from matzah mel, from matzah kfula, so the Magen Avraham says that you can eat those knedlach on Erev Pesach, because the chumra, not to eat matzah kfula, that we treat it as if it were chametz. The chumra was only introduced on Pesach proper when chametz is the kares. On Erev Pesach is not the kares, so they never introduced the chumra. So that's what the Chelkas Yoev writes. If you would ask me, Doctor, what's the din of Matzah Ashira? That the Ramor had a Chumra, whatever the reason A, B, or C, whatever, Hakol, Bakol, all the reasons together, A, B, and C, all the reasons together. But Mikra Adin, what's the halacha? Matzah Ashira is Mutter, Baharai, Chodom, it's Kenim, I'm permitted to eat it. So if you ask me, Doctor, what's the din to eat Matzah Ashira? On Erev Pesach, so he says, I would think that it's Zichem Mutter. And he says, that's what it says, because whenever anything is only a Chumra, so it says that it's mutar on Erev Pesach. The chumra is wrong to do it on Pesach.
Might be a real matzah. It's matzah itself. You have to make a motion on it and everything, right? Point to the
farm. Right.
The gemini uses
the seder
on it. Is it matzah?
Matzah Ashira.
Egg matzah.
Egg matzah. We paskin it's not good for this seder. We paskin it's not good for this
seder. If you would eat it for 1 week, then that's all right.
No, only if you kaveh suda. We'll discuss a little bit more. Also, only if you kaveh suda. You have to be kaveh suda. Yeah. We'll discuss it. It could be that even if your kaveh suda on the egg matzah, it won't be on my. Maybe we'll try to discuss it soon. So the Chelkas Yosef says like this: if you would ask me, I would be medame to these three cases. You have kidneys, it's mutaner pesach, it's a magen avram. You have matzah kfula, it's mutaner pesach. Huh? And Mashu is mutan erpe. He doesn't quote Mashu. Mashu is Medina Digmar is only mutan and only lechumra on Pesach. On Pesach. So he said, if you would ask me, I would have said that Matzah Ashir is mutan erpe. So he says, and that's what it says in the Ramah. The Ramah and Siman Tafayin Aleph this day says beferish that Matzah Ashir is mutan erpe. But he says he doesn't know what to do. Tzarechin. There's another Ramah where it says fakir. The Ramah, the earlier Ramah writes. Then in Taf Mem Dalit, he follows the Ramah, sounds like he says that since I'm, the Ramah says the word is not like this, that since our meaning is that by the Ashkenazim, that we don't eat Matzah Ashira on Pesach, so therefore, when it comes, Er Pesach falls out on Shabbos, and the Mechaber recommends, how are you going to eat Shal Shudis? Mechaber says, what's the problem? Go to Shul and Dam Mincha at 1:30 minyan, then you eat your Shal Shudis at 2 o'clock, you have to plan to finish by 3 o'clock. The last 3 hours in Arlari, and then he said, what are you going to eat? You can't eat chametz, you can't eat matzah. So the Mechaber says, you eat matzah shir. What's the problem eating egg matzah? So the Ramah says, but our meaning is that we don't eat egg matzahs, so we have no choice, and we have to eat peiros. You have to rely on the shittas, you can be yet to the peiros. So he says, he doesn't understand. Why does the Ramah say that? But the Ramah himself writes in Tafayin Aleph, Pashup Shat in the Ramah, that the chumre of matzah shira was never introduced on our pesach. So he says, Tzorachin, he doesn't know what the peiros. So if you look in the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch, they talk about the steer, the Chok Yankiv on the bottom of the page, and the Aruch HaShulchan, and they both say the same answer. And that's what Rav Avadya Yosef says. He says he thinks that that's the best answer, the Pashut answer that's printed on the page, the Chok Yankiv and the Aruch HaShulchan. That all the Ramah meant to say was the following. If you don't look in the Beis Yosef, this idea would never occur to you. But if you look first in the Beis Yosef, people look in the Mishnah Berurah, so they certainly won't know what's going on here. But he says, if you look back in the Beis Yosef, the whole background, then that sheds light on the Ramah. The Beis Yosef talks like this. What are you going to do this Shabbos for Shalosh Shudas? So he says, no problem, make Matzah Ashir. Make Matzah Ashir and eat Shalosh Shudas Matzah Ashir. But then the Beis Yosef quotes, most people don't do that. So he says, why not? The kid, they have to eat Shal Shudas, they can't eat Chomet, they can't eat Matzah, so why not insist they have to have Matzah Shir? So he says, he quotes from earlier, Achronim, maybe lo hitrichu chachomet. What he's going to ask his wife, that she should bake 2 egg matzahs, the lecha mishnah for Shal Shudas. She's going to patchkezech to bake 2 egg matzahs. Apparently they didn't eat egg matzahs. They didn't have, so the Beis Yosef says, maybe that's the reason why lo hitrichu chachomet, to go patchkezach to make 2 egg matzahs just to eat shalshut. So that's what the Chok Yankiv and the Aruch HaShulchan both say, that's the teretz to the steer in the Ramah. The Ramah in Siman Tafayin Aleph writes that the chumra not to eat egg matzah was never introduced on Erev Pesach. It was only introduced on Pesach proper. But the Ramah in Taf Mem Dalet writes like this, but on Pesach proper we don't eat egg matzahs. For whatever reason, all three reasons, for whatever reason it is. So which Meshugan is going to bake egg matzahs just to eat on Erev Pesach? They used to eat chametz in the morning. They used to eat chametz in the morning. So what are they going to just patchkes up to make 2 egg matzahs? But what if they have Mamashevitz is making a ton of egg matzahs? So then the Chok Yankiv says, no, I'm the rabbis to eat the egg matzahs.
Well, but what do you do with the Pesach? You shouldn't have it on Pesach.
No, so you don't eat it on Pesach. No, you just pointed out yourself 15 minutes ago. You said, if the Chayla is allowed to eat it, you see you're allowed to have it around the house? You're not machmir not to have it around the house. So whatever's left over, so you leave it around the house. Oh. So that's where the Chok Yankiv and the Aruch HaShulchan, that's where they hold is the Pashto. The Mishnah, sure, that's what they say. The Mishnah Berurah writes not so. The Mishnah Berurah writes like the Balatanya writes, like a few other Acharedim writes, that it's not so. That when the Ramah says that we don't eat Matzah Ashir on Pesach, it goes not only on Pesach, it goes on Erev Pesach also. The other Ramah on Tafayin Aleph seems to say Faker. They ignore that. So they hold that you're not permitted to eat egg matzah on Erev Pesach. The embassy, if you look further back, it's a Mefurish and Machlokes. In Germany, they used to have different minhagim. The Maharil has all of the minhagim from Germany, but the Maharil got it from earlier Achronim from the Maharak and from others of Avram Kloizner. But now they printed all these. There's a Sefer Minhagim from Abba Isaac here, and it was the Hagoyet Minhagim. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote a lot of times from the Sefer Minhagim from the Hagoyet Minhagim. The Sefer Minhagim, we know, is written by Abba Isaac here, and he records Minhage Esterite. There were two parts of Germany. In the days of the Bali Atesis, they had a big, if you look in Yeriday, in Simon Samach Dalet, the Simon about Chelev. There's a big machlekes that the Mordechai already quotes in the days of the Bali Atesis about certain fats in the animal, whether there's an Issa deraisa to eat these fats or a tetagomer. But some people held mamish treif with an Issa koras, and others held you're allowed to eat it. So there were two minhagim. The minig esterach was that they did not eat it, and minig reines, another part of Germany, was that they did eat it. So there are more right there in Simen Samach Dalet that when the Jews moved from Germany to Eastern Europe, so they carried over all of the Minhagi Ashkenaz. So which Minhagim did they choose? So it sounds like he said that the Minhag Esterach was more prevalent than the Minhag Rhinus. At least when they get to the Chelev. So he says they didn't eat this Chelev. But in Rhinus they ate, and Esterach they didn't eat it. So in Eastern Europe they didn't eat it either. So here in the Sefer Minhagim, Rabbi Isaac Tirina, you look in the introduction here, he gives you the Holy Spirit. Rabbi Isaac Tirina is always recording the Minhagim from Esterach. And Hagos Minhagim, well, we don't know exactly who wrote it, but it's someone who's recording the Minhagi Rainus. And he, every so often he's disagreeing with one it says. So here there's a Beferish and Machloikis, Minhag Rainus and Minhag Esterach, about exactly this Nakuda. The Chumra, Nati, Reg Matzis, Am Pesach, they all had the Minhag. The Ramah's Minhag was a... The Ramah lived in the 1500s, and he quotes from the Maharil, Nati, Reg Matzis, and it was before the days of the Maharil, earlier, 100 years before. From the 1200s, from the 1100s, whenever this, whatever the reason is, the Minhag began 400 years before the days of the Ramah. Not to eat Egg Matzah on Pesach. What about Egg Matzah on Erev Pesach? So the Rabbi Isaac Tirna writes, you have to eat Shalashudas after Chatzoy, but you have to eat it before 3 o'clock. And what do you eat? So some people eat Peiris, and other people eat Matzah Shira, Shani Loisha B'yayin over Dvash below Mayim Klah. Sure. You eat Egg Matzah on Erev Pesach, in the afternoon, before 3 o'clock, to be Yotzei Shalashus. And he doesn't write that there's a problem. He writes, you're not allowed to eat Egg Matzah on Pesach, but on Erev Pesach there was no such minhag. And then on the bottom of the page, here it's printed on the bottom. Another edition, the older edition, he said printed on the side, the Hagoyet Minhag. And he writes on the bottom, B'chol Ori Rainis, the minhag is, and on Erev Pesach also they don't eat Egg Matzah. So there was clearly chiluf and minhagim on this. There were two minhagim about this issue. Whether the chumrah of not eating egg matzahs on Pesach applies to Erev Pesach or not. So the shayla is, which minig do you follow? So the Achronim had different minhagim. No. That's a different issue. You're not allowed, we spoke a little bit about that last week. You're not permitted to eat matzah on Erev Pesach, with which one could be Yotzei Decha Vasai. By the Seder, the Yerushalmi says, it's prohibited to eat egg matzah. It's prohibited to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. But Tosfos says that matzah Ashira, which you could not use for the mitzvah, cannot be Yotzei the mitzvah on Erev Pesach. Matzah Ashira you're allowed to eat on Erev Pesach. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. They quote that Tosfos in the first daf in Arvid Sochim. So now the Rambam's opinion is that the only four mashkim that make it into matzah shira are yayin, shemen, dvash, and cholo, and egg matzahs, according to the Rambam, l'chera would be good to be yotzei idecha vasa lel pesach. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, even though Shulchan Aruch, they don't even mention this Rambam, so he used to say he thinks that the proper thing is to be choshish for the Rambam's opinion, but according to the Rambam, the egg matzahs would be good to be yotzei, so you're not allowed to eat the egg matzahs on our Pesach, not because it's an Issa Chomei.
No, because
it's an Issa of eating matzah. Right. That was his chumah. That was his chumah. Then Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote.
Rambam thinks it's only if you put it in water. That
That's a further machloikis. That's a big machloikis when the Rambam says that if you have, let's say, matzahs that are made from apple cider and eggs, that's not matzah shira. You can be yotzei. So the Noisei Kalim have a machloikis. What does the Rambam mean? Does he mean with water or does he even mean without water? That's a further machloikis. That's a very important machloikis. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about
that. Matzah kfura, you can eat Erev Pesach.
Yeah, yeah.
So therefore, why wasn't it gemacht that for them Pesach? We knew it comes out on Shabbos. You sell packages more part of the matzah.
No, matzah tefillah is matzahs. You're not allowed to eat matzah tefillah on our Pesach. No. Matzah tefillah, we are machmeh that it's coming. We're not knowing at our Pesach.
You can make
but the Magen Avraham says, if you make knevach out of the matzah tefillah, it'll be good. But eat the matzah tefillah itself, you're not allowed to, because it's matzah. It's real matzah medina. Right. It's real matzah medina. The Chayki Anki, when he presents his opinion, when he explains why he thinks the Ramon never meant, to say that you're not allowed to eat the egg matzah, the Rabbi says later on, he says because of the tikh, they weren't matriach, that's the Pashup Shah. So the Chayki Anki refers you to the Hagoah Smak. I don't know why the Chayki Anki was much earlier than later. The later Achronim should have quoted it. The Chayki Anki quotes the Hagoah Smak, which is written by the Balei HaTosfos, the Sefer Mitzvos Katan. Has Haoris on the bottom of the page, so he quotes from the Maharam Rutenberg, who says like this, who are we talking to? So he says, if you're a person, he quotes this smak, the Chaykyanka quotes this smak, is mitzvah ratio test. The smak is the minyan mitzvah, he gives you all the tariyat mitzvahs, and he gives you a little bit from the balei HaTosfos on every mitzvah. So on the top of the page is the sefer mitzvahs cotton from Abayzik Yitzchak and Kurvile, Tosfos quotes in every so often. On the bottom of the page is the Hagos Rabbeinu Peres. From a Balei HaTosfos. So he, on the bottom, in the Hagos Smak, on Mitzvah Reish Yutes, he quotes from the Maharam Rutenberg. Who are we talking to? If we're talking to a person who's always medaktik every Shabbos afternoon, he's makfit, his wash and eat bread for Shalosh Shudas. So then he says, you should follow the Ikar Adin, eat the egg matzahs for Shalosh Shudas. What's the problem? What are you looking for? Chumras, not the egg matzah. Okay. But if you're talking to a person who every so often is a makel, he skips Shalosh Shudas, or he's makel on Shalosh Shudas, he's going to be the Torah, or has a piece of cake, he's not always makel to each Lech Mishnah. So let him be makel this time also. What should he lose a harayin in an issue when a machloikis? What should he look for trouble? So that's the Hachrof in the Maharam Rutenberg. It's so good. Hachrof in the Maharam Rutenberg. Whoever is makel all year long should be makel now, just to the 8th of Paris. Whoever is makel all year long to be medakti to eat Lech Mishnah should continue now to eat the Lech Mishnah.
That
up until 3 o'clock. That's what he wrote. That's the machlok. The shaila is that what you raised before, how much egg matzah do you have to eat in order to say how much? Because the egg matzah is really bari minim zaynus. It's really cake. So we learned the Gemara in Brachas that if you eat cake, that pat habav b'kisnet, if you eat enough of it, you kaveh sud on it, then it becomes hamaytzi. But that's only by nedvar mamurim. That's if it's pas habav b'kisnet, it means that it's basically pas. Pas means lechem, bread. Pas is bread. It's lechem habav b'kisnet, that's usually eaten as a snack because it has nasherai in the middle, has a lot of flavoring, has a lot of sugar in it. Maybe pizza is always hamaytzi. Oh, something like cake. But let's say you have Wheaties, let's say you have Cheerios, let's say you have Wheatina, Farina. So you can eat a ton of that. There's no tzuras hapas. There's not pas habav b'kisnet. It doesn't look, there's no loaf at all. There's no shape of a loaf. So you can eat a ton of that. It's never going to be hamaytzi lechmeros. So the shot is, how much of the egg matzah do you have to eat? So some poskim, they quote from the, or Zeruah's son. Zeruah was also one of the later we showed those rules, the Rebbe of the Maharam Rutenberg. Then Yitzchok Ozerov in Vienna. He lives in Vienna. So the Ozerov's son is Rab Chaim Ozerov, has a Tshuvas. They quote him from Tshuvas Marach Ozerov. So the Marach Ozerov has his funny shita that any time you eat cake or cookies on Shabbos, he quotes the Gemara in Beitza, the Shabbos Kovas Lamaisa. It's called Achilas Kev, it's not called Achilas Eroi. So he says you can never say Mizainis. Let's say you make Kiddush on Shabbos morning, you make Kiddush, you say whatever, and then you have some cake. He says, that little snack of cake, that's Shem Hamaytzi. Because the Gemara says in Beitza, okay, because the Gemara says in Beitza that Shabbos Kavah, right. Whatever you eat on Shabbos called Achilas Kev. And some Achrenim have such an idea in Shari Tshuva. Quote, some Achrenim have such an idea. Also, in Hilchas Sukkah, he quotes it, that you're allowed to eat Achilas Haroi, Chutzla Sukkah, but Achilas Kev, you're not allowed to eat. So achilas aray haste on chalamoid, if you eat some cake, it's okay. But on yontif, or on Shabbos chalamoid, since Shabbos kevas, and yontif is kaveya, so even if you have just a little snack of cake, v'atashayin hamoitzi, and it's achilas kevan, sigifela. And all the other Rishonim and Achayim say it's not correct. When the Gemara says that Shabbos kevas, that's only going to get to maestris, that you're not allowed to eat achilas kevan with the Rabbonon, before hafrashas trumas and maestris, it has nothing to do with achilas kevan. It's not called Kviya Suda. Kviya Suda, you have to eat a significant amount. So how much do you have to eat? So they have the different opinions in the Pasuk. Sure. So Rav Moshe writes in his sefer that we Pasuk like the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says that if you're going to, you plan to eat a whole meal, and in the middle of the meal you're going to have a little cake to fill you up. You mean you're not washing. You're going to eat a whole meal with soup and chopped liver and fish and whatever. The whole works from beginning to the end. You're going to have a little cake also because you're hungry. You want to fill yourself up. That's also called Kviya Suda. Even if you didn't eat so much of the cake. So Memele, Rav Moshe Paskin is going to get to the egg matzah. You don't have to eat so much egg matzah. If you're only eating egg matzah and that's all, then you have to eat a certain volume of egg matzah. That should be called the Kviya Suda. But if you're eating the egg matzah with syrup with the whole meal, so that's already called the Kriya Suda, and that makes it into Hamaitzi. Yeah. But this is all on the assumption that the egg matzah is called a pas habo bikisnes. That it's called bread. Nikaradin, it's really bread. But since it's eaten as a snack, so then it's sometimes mizaynus and sometimes Hamaitzi. Maybe there's a mokum to be mitzadeh to say that egg matzah is not even pas habo bikisnes. Maybe it's not even pas habo. Well, maybe if you even eat 25 boxes of egg matzahs, maybe there'll always be very minimizaynus. So that no one ever had such an einfach, except for the Avnei Nezer. Last week we started to say an Avnei Nezer. I mentioned Avnei Nezer is not in Arachaim in Hilchus Pesach. The Avnei Nezer is in Yerideya, in the middle of the Chuvas on Pasakum. That's Chuvas on Bishalakum, he has Kimat Sif by Sif. On Bishalakum, then he has a few Chuvas on Pasakum. So in the middle of the Chuvas on Pasakum, he has a short, very short paragraph where he gives you the secret to this Rambam with the four mashkin, Yayin Shem and Vashon Cholom. And to explain the Kitzur Nimrutz, he has it to explain in the 5-6 lines that he has, it gives you a Chiddush Nichla that runs as follows, that in order for something to be considered Lechem, in order to be Chayv and Challah, it has to be Lechem. Cake and cookies is also Lechem. It's Pasabo B'Kisnet. If you'll be Kaveh Sud, it'll be Hamaitzi. If you're not Kaveh Sud, it's Mizonis, but it's still Pas. Habo B'Kisnet, it's still Pas. But let's say you're making farina, wheatina, spaghetti, something, it's not at all pas, then you're not chayv mechal. So what if they have a new thing now? They take kernels of grain. How do you normally make bread, cake, or cookies? You take grain, you grind it, you make flour. Then you mix something into the flour and you make it into a dough. And the last couple of years they have a new thing that the people who are makpid on their health eat it. They take the grains and they just crush them together with heat. They cause the kernels of grain to melt together without making it into flour first. And they don't even need any mashke to mix in. The thing just melts together and they put it in a pan in the shape that they want it and they bake it into a bread or they bake it into a
cake.
So the shaila is, okay, but popcorn is separate pieces and here it blends in to be one. They melt it. They melt the kernels of grain, and it becomes one. And there's no mashke used at all.
They call it catalyzer. Something catalyzer.
So the shaila is it bari min mizayis? Why not? Why shouldn't it be bari min mizayis? Why not? Because they made it. If you make farina, they say bari min mizayis. The shaila is: do you ever say hamaitzi? Do you ever say hamaitzi? What's the issue? What's the issue? Whether yes or no? So that short shuvan avnei nezer makes quite a few assumptions. So one of his assumptions is, you can ding zech with Avnei Nezer, this is a mokum lefalpol there, but he has a stark svar, he teaches Eisa Yerushalmi like this. He says the premise is that that's not called lechem. It's only called lechem if it had a lisha in advance. Like the Mishnayis have a Masech HaShabbos, the 11 malachas, the first malachas of the 39 of his malachas, the Gemara calls them Sidura de Pas. The way you bake bread, you have to plow the ground, then you have to plant it, then you harvest it, then you separate the ochel from the pesulis, then you grind it. So every malocha of the first 11 malochas leads up to making a bread. So the malocha immediately before, the one before oife, is losh. When you do lisha, that leads up to afiyah, you bake the bread. So what if you can bake bread without lisha, like this kind? You take the kernels of grain, and with heat, you melt them together into the shape of a loaf, but you never did any lisha. Lisha haste, you add on some external mashke, not that it has its own juice. That's not called lisha. All the pasuk say lisha means you have to add on some mashke mibachut. So if you melt it, then he assumes a double pasha. He doesn't talk about it. This is just a given. This said by him is such a muskal rish, and he doesn't even spell it out. He proceeds on the assumption that everybody knows that already. That if you didn't have any lisha, then it's not called lecha. Now, what kind of a mashke that you have to use that it should constitute a lisha. So that's what we said over last week. He assumed step A, he never even said it, and he went to step B, proceeded. So he says, well, that's a machlekes hatanoim. Does it have to be one of the Zion mashkim, Yad Shach Adam? Or is it good even if it's meitez? How do we paskin? That's a machlekes hatanoim, a mishnah yischala. That's a machlekes a rishonim, and a machlekes a later rishonim. And a shulchan aruch is a sveika dedina. If you make bread, cake, or cookies, and you didn't use any one of the Zion mashkim, you didn't use yayin, chalav, vashem, and mayim, none of those. You just used meiteris. Is it chayv mechala or not? So that's a sveika dedina. So and the Rambam paskins, you're not chayv mechala. The Rambam paskins like that tana, that only one of the Zion mashkims can serve for the purpose of making the lishim. So the Avnei Nezer claims that according to the Rambam, you can eat a ton of egg matzahs, and it's never going to be hamotzi, because it never had a lishon, because you never mix in any one of the Zion mashkim. If you're going to have broyer's egg matzahs, the broyer's egg matzahs, I didn't realize, it's the Rabbanut egg matzahs. It doesn't have broyer's hashgach. It's just the Rabbanut of Yerushalayim sells these egg matzahs. And it says in big letters, this is matzah ashira, not to be used for the Seder, and you're only allowed to use it on Erev Pesach in the morning, because you're not allowed to use it on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, and big letters that you can't mix. You can't miss it. The sign is very clear on the box. So if you use those matzahs that have yayin in them, so that's one of the Zayin mashkim. Fine. So that's going to be pasah bo b'kist, and that'll be mezaynus. And if you be kaveh suda, you'll eat it in conjunction with the meal. That'll be hamaitzah. But if you're just going to have regular egg matzahs, he claims, if you use normal egg matzahs, normal manashevet egg matzahs that everybody uses. How many people buy Rabbanut egg matzahs? If you're going to use normal egg matzahs that have apple cider and eggs in them, and it doesn't have any water at all, so he claims that, according to the Rambam, this is his pshat in the Rambam. You can ding them. This is his pshat. He assumes of Davar Poshut that you need a lisha in order to shirav shem lechem. And the Rambam holds the lisha has to be one of the Zayin mashkim. And if you didn't do lisha with Zayin mashkim, it doesn't have a din lechem, not a din in Hilchas Matzah. There's not a din lechem in Kolat Terkula, so it's not even Pasav Obi Kisna. It's a plain old Bar Mimzah. It's never going to become Hamoitzi. Even though it's one of the Zayin mashkim. Then he goes further. He says, so the Rambam must be talking that you did mix in water. But he says, how much water? Just a couple of drops of water. He says, no. He says, you have to have mixed in so much water that the water could have done the lisha without the eggs and without the wine and without the apple cider. He says, otherwise, right that you don't have a lisha with one of the Zayin mashkim. Otherwise, you're right that don't have it. Or take Lamasha, these egg matzahs. These egg matzahs that they're selling now in America from the Rabbanut Yerushalayim. So these egg matzahs have wine and eggs. So the eggs are not from the Zayin mashkim. The wine is from the Zayin mashkim. So how much wine did they mix in? So if they didn't mix in enough wine to do the lisha, if you would remove the eggs and only mix in the wine, and there's so much flour, if that wine wouldn't be enough to do the lisha and all of the flour, then Avnei Nezer says it's never going to be hamaitzi. You can eat a ton of this, according to his pshat in the Rambam. According to his pshat in the Rambam. So Gan's fine pshat, but he writes. You can think of it, you can reinterpret everything, but it's a Gan's fine pshat, everything fits in very well. But this is a great sechidish, what he says. No one ever learned like that. The other nice he came, no one ever noticed this pshat. This is his original pshat. Maybe. To do the lisha. No, okay. I mean, if it'll be Mabatla May Paris, there are no May Paris. Okay.
What is that?
When you have to eat a kazayas in order to eat a kazayas, you have to eat a kazayas of grain. Let's say I have cake or cookies. I eat a kazayis, I say alamitya. I say a bracha rishayna, you don't even have to eat a kazayis. But in order to say alamitya, you have to eat a kazayis. So let's say I'll eat a kazayis of a cookie which doesn't have a kazayis of flour. So part of the kazayis is a certain percentage of the formula, a certain percentage of sugar, a certain percentage of flavoring, other things. So there's a machlekes achrayim. When everything is all blended in, is it mitzkarif to the shir? So the Mishnah Brura Paskin is not. That in order to say alamithya, at the end, you have to have eaten so much of the cookies or the cake that you have eaten a full kezayis of grain. Otherwise, you just say barnafashis. Let's say yeda cookie. That altogether it's a kezayis. The sugar with the flavoring, with the flour, everything is gone. So the bracha rishon is going to be bar minim kezayis, but bracha acharina will be barnafashis. I ate a food that's the size of a kezayis, but I didn't have sugar, a kezayis of flour. So here you have to eat a little more. Here the egg matzahs have a lower percentage of flour than regular matzahs. Not so much lower, but it's about, I think it's 1/6 less. No, no, it's one time that Rabbi Akiva holds like that. We don't pass like that. Nobody passes like that. Yeah. Yeah. An Erev Pesach. Yeah, that. No, the Rambam says if you mix in Yayin, it's Matzah Ashira. No, that doesn't mean. No, the only thing is, the only question is whether the Rambam really agrees with the Tosfos or not. Who said this? The Yerushalmi says that you're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So then Tosfos says, "Bamedvar mamurim, only such matzah with which you could fulfill the mitzvah leil Pesach." But if it's such a matzah ashir that even if you would want to eat it leil Pesach, he couldn't fulfill a mitzvah, so that you're allowed to eat on Erev Pesach. That's what the Rabbi Tam says. Does everybody agree? That's a question. So the Rambam, in dealing with Tosfos Kasha, gives a different answer. How did Tosfos get this idea? That you're allowed to eat egg matzah on Erev Pesach. You're allowed to eat matzah shir. Because they ask the Kasha. The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to eat a meal after 3 o'clock on Erev Pesach. It says to have a little nash, mini targime is mutter. But to eat a meal means to wash. To eat a whole meal, you're not allowed. So the Rabbi Natan wants to know, what kind of a meal can he possibly be eating? Chometz he's not allowed to eat from 10 o'clock on. Matzah, he's not allowed to eat the whole Erev Pesach. He's not allowed to eat matzah. It's a marsha. You can't eat chometz, you can't eat matzah. So there's nothing to eat. So Rabbi Natan squeezes in cake. He's talking matzah ashira. Matzah ashira is not chometz. But since he couldn't be yotzei dechavasa b'leil Pesach, because it's ashira, so you're allowed to eat matzah ashira all day up until 3 o'clock. That's how the Rabbi Natan says. That's the proof. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch tells them. They're permitted to eat matzah ashira. If you look in the tiny letters on the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah and the Shara Tzion, so he quotes that if you, the Biur HaGroh thinks it with the whole premise. He says, if you look in the Rambam, both in the Pirush HaMishnah, it's on the first Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim, and in the Yad HaChazokah, the Rambam implies Tosfos Kasha. What do you mean after 3 o'clock on Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to eat a meal? What kind of a meal is he going to eat? Chometz he can't eat from 10 o'clock on Matzah, he can't eat a whole day long. So the Rambam writes like this, you're allowed to eat mini tagima, the Gemara says, a little bit. But to stuff yourself to eat 5 lugs of gefilte fish, you won't eat matzah l'teyot, it's not going to be hungry when it comes leil Pesach, when it comes leil Aser. So the Rambam says that's what it means. You're allowed to eat a little bit of mini tagima, but you're not allowed to eat it in excess, you're not allowed to eat too much. And the Rambam didn't say the answer that the Rabbi Natan said, it's talking about matzah ashira. So the Vilna Gaon implies that's the Rambam Shita, that Matzah Ashira is prohibited in Erev Pesach, and he implies that he holds like that. That's how the Mishnah Berurah writes. The Mishnah Berurah writes in the Haggadah to his Sefer that he's always going to quote the Dumb, the Goyen Shitas, because he knows that there are a lot of people who like to follow the Goyen Shitas. He doesn't necessarily mean that he's passing like that, he's letting those people know, those who are Goyen, Chassidim of the Goyen, should know what the Goyen Shita is. So he writes this. And the Shara Tzion, he doesn't write it in the text of the Mishnah Berurah. Mamish on the bottom of the page, where he just usually writes Mar Mekaymes, so he writes a Shtigl Teri here, it's like a footnote on a footnote. That the Rambam's, the Vilna Gaon says that the Rambam's opinion is, and the Vilna Gaon is noted like that, that you're not even allowed to have real Mekoy Matzah Shira on Erev Pesach. So according to the Vilna Gaon, the Rambam's own opinion is that even the Rabbanut matzahs, they have wine in them. That L'chola Deis HaMatzah Ashira, according to the gross pshat in the Rambam, you're not allowed to eat an Erev Pesach either. There's an Itzer matzah in there. But that, unless you follow everything from the Goyim, that the Shulchan Aruch says not so. The Shulchan Aruch writes that Matzah Ashira is mutter in Erev Pesach. Everybody holds Matzah Ashira is mutter, except for the Groh based on the Rambam. So this kind of matzah that has yain in it would be a Matzah Ashira. That would be Matashi. The Shabbos, what time are you going to daven on Shabbos morning? That's the question. Right, so he said, Rav Moshe quotes the Magen Avraham. Rav Moshe assumes that the din is like the Magen Avraham, that if you eat egg matzah in conjunction with a whole, eat some cake or cookies in conjunction with a whole meal, so that's called Tviya Suda. You don't have to eat so much egg matzah. If you're eating only egg matzah, you have to eat a significant amount, and you have to figure out how much. But if you eat it in conjunction with a whole meal, that itself is called Tviya Suda. Is one kedayis? I don't know. That sounds like it's a very big shia. I don't know. I think the Rav probably was assuming not like this Magen Avraham. The Rav Posner don't accept the Magen Avraham. The Rav HaShulchan doesn't like that Magen Avraham. If you eat a little bit cake or cookies in the middle of the whole meal, you go to a wedding. We gave the Moshe, you go to a wedding. You're going to eat from A to Z, but you just don't want to wash. You know that you won't have to bench at the end. But then in the middle, when you're still hungry, so you nibble on some cookies in order to fill yourself up. Is that called a Kviya Suda or not? So the Magen Avraham says, yeah, that's a Kviya Suda. You're eating cake in the middle of a whole meal to fill you up a little bit. You don't have to eat 4 kibbetz and 3 kibbetz of cake. You're eating so much, you're going to be full, but this is part of it, that's called Kviya Suda. The Rav HaShulchan disagrees. So I think the Rav is probably assuming not like the Magen Avraham. The Moshe says we pass like the Magen Avraham, but that's called Tviya Suda. The only thing is you have to figure out how much the desire is, because it's going to be a little bit less. The grain, the flour content of the egg mass is going to be slightly less. One-fifth less, or one-sixth less. You have to eat a little more than a desire. It's not so much. The Shabbos, let's say, Shabbos morning, what time are the people going to die? So it's hard to wake up so early. So in some shuls, they have a good eitzah, they dive in at the normal time. So whatever, at 9 o'clock, whatever time, and then they stop after Shachris, and then they go Hamini. So what's the din? So we learned the Gemara in the first parak in Brachas, the Gemara had a machlekes once. In the yeshivas? Some places, you don't want to be makachi. In the yeshivas, they eat before Tia Shaykh Ravad. So the Gemara in the first parak in Brachas has a machlokes. You're not allowed to eat before davening Shachris. What about before davening Musaf? So one opinion in the Gemara was that just like it's forbidden to eat before Shachris, you're not allowed to eat before Musaf. The Gemara says we don't pass like that. The din is that you are permitted to eat before Musaf. So the tour, Frek Akasha, when this is quoted in Hilchos Shabbos, by the dinim of davening Musaf, says the Mechaber of the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, you're permitted to eat before Musaf. So the Torah is the Kasha. The Gemara says in Tainis, the Kohanim are really supposed to duchen after the Chazan finishes Atav Shimcha L'chanor L'hodis and the Chazor HaShat, before he starts Sim Shalom, the Brach is called Brichas Kohanim, Sim Shalom. So the Kohanim are supposed to duchen every time there's a Chazor HaShat, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, Nila, every time. The only thing is that the Gemara says that Mincha no, because Shchichi Shikris, a kohen is not permitted to duchen if he's a shikir, so by the time it comes to daven Mincha, so everybody has eaten. So what does it mean, every kohen is shikir? Rav Kohanim are shikir. How can you say such a thing? Even if they had a lechayim, even if they had wine, unless, look, some of them may be shikir. Since somebody may be shikir, and they've just finished drinking, and he didn't wait long enough, didn't take a nap yet, didn't wait long enough, so then he's not allowed to duchen, so we don't allow anybody to duchen. But to Musaf, you are allowed to duchen. Aye, but if we pass, can you permitted to eat before Musaf, we have to shakl from Musaf, so why not say Shchichi Shikris? So the Torah says, it's a raya from that Gemara in Tainis, that you're allowed to eat before Musaf, but not the same amount of eating that you're allowed to eat before Mincha. You're allowed to eat before Mincha to your heart's content. But you're not allowed to eat before Musaf a real meal. A little bit you're allowed to eat. So in some shuls, they're going to stop, make a hafsoki in between Shachris and Kriyas HaTorah. And they'll just have everybody go downstairs and wash and say Hamoitzi and bench and farting. And that's going to be the Suda. And then when they'll go home, they'll eat whatever, kosher the face of flesh and fish, whatever they want. There's no bread. They won't wash. That'll be the Shalashudas, but then they wash in the morning fine. That's good. The only shayla is, what if they want to have a real meal? They want to have a real meal, the whole, they want to stop in the hotel, they want to have like that. Some of the hotels, they want to stop, they want to dive in, they want to have the best of all worlds. They want to dive in chakras, late, 9 o'clock, whatever. 8:30, okay, 8:30. And then they want to, 8 o'clock, whatever. And then they want to server, or they want to finish chakras. Say, Kaddish has come, left the chakras, and then make a hafsoka, and then they'll have a full meal, like in a hotel, from A to Z, have everything. So what's the deal? So in the tour it says you're not allowed to. And the Bishyaisim in the Shulchan Aruch goes along with the tour. The only thing is the Bach disagrees. The Bach writes on the side of the tour, he doesn't think that the proof from the Gemara in Tainus is so conclusive. That the Gemara says that you're not permitted to duchen to minche because shtichi shikris. But you are permitted to duchen to musa because lo shtichi shikris at the tour. If you're allowed to eat a full meal before musa, why shtichi shikris? The answer is, how many mishugoyim are going to eat a whole meal? The davening, shakras, kriyas, atar, musa, where are they going to be mafsik? What, they're going to make up stuff in the middle? Whoever does it, far-fetched, it's not going to happen. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that meikar adin, you're not allowed to eat a full meal. It means that it's loshchichi shikris, it's not common that it should happen. But the Bach says, meikar adin, if you want to eat, gizuntai. So even though in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber Pashtetz of Paskins like the Beis Yosef, the Paskins the way he wrote, and the Beis Yosef, he agrees with the tour, that a real meal, a full-fledged meal, you're not allowed to eat. But the Mishnah Brura and the Shari Tshuva already quote that if it's a Shas HaTchak, it's a Koshek Tzatz, it's a difficulty, the Kemisha Mekel is not like the Bach, to eat a full meal before Muslim, because the Raya of the Torah is not so conclusive. The Mishnah Brura doesn't explain why. The Shari Tshuva doesn't explain why, the Mishnah Brura doesn't explain why. But if you look in the other Mefarshim, the Magen Avraham, they're quoting from the Magen Avraham, but they leave out the Hesber. Magen Avraham says it's because Mi'ikar Adin, we really hold like the Bach, that you really can have a full meal. But why should you be Mekel against the Shulchan Aruch? But if it's a Pakash HaSafchak, people find it too difficult to wake up so early, to make such a, wake up at 6 o'clock. They're going to be groggy the whole day. So if you have a big Shas HaSafchak, so then the Mishnah Brura quotes in Magen Avraham, in Shari Tshuva, that you can be Mekel to have a whole meal. The only thing is, but you have to daven Musaf. You have to lay Kriyas HaTorah. So when are you going to daven Musaf? So you have to start Musaf, that's halacha. You have to start Musaf before 1 o'clock. The Gemara says, you have to start Musaf before the end of Shor Shviyas. From 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock is the seventh hour of the day, that's Shor Shviyas. So the Gemara says, whoever begins, Mikra Adin, if you didn't daven Musaf, you didn't daven Musaf all day long till the end of Shkiyah, till the end of the day. But the Gemara says, if someone is slow and lazy and he doesn't begin Musaf till later, so that's a terrible thing. You're supposed to start, it says on Yom Kippur, the Chazarim have to be careful not to take too long by Shacharis, but you have to start Musaf before 1 o'clock. And that's what the Paskim say, you should try to start Musaf before 12:30, because after 12:30 the Redit is Ma Milche, and it's a Machlekes, but you have to start Milche before Musaf. So you should really try to begin the Musaf before, if you're going to have such a Hapsoke between Shacharis and Musaf in order to eat a whole meal, then they should try to make sure that they start Musa before 12:30, or I call partner have to start Musa before 1 o'clock. What about the Kriyas HaTorah? What about Kriyas HaTorah? So there's an Ateris Ikanim on Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. In the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, the Ateris Ikanim has a running commentary. So he writes that if he didn't learn Kriyas HaTorah in the morning, on Shabbos morning, let's say Parshas Tzav, if he didn't learn Kriyas HaTorah in the morning, so learn by Mincha, what's it? You can learn the whole set, you give all seven aliyahs by Mincha. The Rav Soloveitchik thought that that wasn't such a double pressure. When we learned Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, he said, you can dingza. He said, it would be Sheni B'Hamishi. See, this, he has a tradition from Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim was very medactic on Kriyas HaTorah. Rav Chaim used to sometimes travel to meetings of the Vada Rabbanim of Poland, so he would have to be on a train, he would miss davening Tefillah B'Tzibah on Monday, Thursday morning, so he would always be medactic to get together a minyan Monday afternoon, Thursday afternoon. He would always succeed in getting a minyan of Jews who hadn't heard yet Kriyas HaTorah that day, and they would lay Kriyas HaTorah in the afternoon. And they quote this in the other Sfarim, a few Sfarim they quoted. Chaim held that the Takanas Kriyas HaTorah B'Sheni Mechamishi is all day long. The Chachidi is supposed to lay Kriyas HaTorah in the morning right after Shabbos, but the Yevid you can lay in the afternoon also. But Rav Soloveitchik thought, but on Shabbos maybe it's not so. But since on Shabbos there's a separate Takanas Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos afternoon, you have to lay in Parsha Shemini. You're not going to learn Parashat Tzav. So maybe Zmanah Shal Zeh like Zmanah Shal Zeh. And maybe once it comes Shabbos afternoon, you can no longer fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah from the morning. So that would be preferable if the shul is going to have such a hafsaka. The hotel is going to have such a hafsaka. So it was preferable that they should finish the whole Kriya Satayra before Chatzos. Before Chatzos. As nids, so they can rely on that there as a game. But the Musaf for sure, they should really start before 12:30 L'Hatchila, and latest, they should start the Musaf before 1 o'clock. Yeah, why not? Unless there's a problem of shikris. Unless there's an actual problem of shikris. That's a shayla pesach. What, the whole shul cleared out? They didn't like Kriyas HaTorah at all? Okay, you mean they made a nash? Not a real suda, just kiddush. Okay. Well, that's the shaila. The Mishnah Brura, Rav Moshe writes in the sefer like the Mishnah Brura that you're not permitted to eat egg matzah after 10 o'clock in the morning. Because they hold that the chumis of Ramah that they treat it like chumis even applies to Erev Pesach, even to show us the Rabbanah. Even to show us the Rabbon. The Navid Yehuda thinks not so. He thinks up until Chatzos. He thinks the Ramon meant you're only allowed to eat egg matzah up until Chatzos. But after Chatzos, then the Navid Yehuda thinks the Ramon meant to say that you're not allowed to eat egg matzah. And he says, at minor places, he says, listen to me. You don't have to listen to the Ramon. It's okay. Between me and you, he writes, you can eat egg matzah even after Chatzos up until 3 o'clock. But he says he thinks the Ramon meant only up until Chatzos. Shows the Rabban of the Gor Machma and the Chalkas Yoyev writes, like the Chalk Yankiv, like the Hashulchan the Ramon never meant it. It just meant you're not matriach the Baba Bas to make yourself meshuggah, to bake egg matzahs. 2 egg matzahs you should take. But if they have it, it's not the Rabbi or other Rabbi. So other Rabbi should eat the egg matzahs. If you're going to follow those Paskin, you're going to follow the Nadi Yehuda, you're going to follow the Chalkas Yoyev with the others. There's no reason at all to dive in early. Yeah, right? No. We're going to have the boss of the dog in later. We're going to have the boss of the dog in later. They say, B'shem Rav Moshe, I never saw it in Islam. I don't know if it's in Islam. They used to tell me the name Rav Moshe that in a lot of shuls, let's say, if there's a simcha, so they give a big elaborate kiddush right after that, and then everybody goes home. So a lot of times they give milchiks. They give the kiddush milchiks, and then you go home and you eat the big meal, the fleshy meal. Although a lot of yekkes have like that, the afrishtan. They make kiddush and have a milchik breakfast, and then they have the fleshig meal is later. So they told me the Rav Moshe held that that was not proper. A lot of yekkes do like that. They told me Rav Moshe held that that was not proper. That he held, that like the Rabbeinu Tam says, that the Suda Shlishis can be ate in the Paris with a little nash. So he held that the second Suda should be, the first Suda is Friday night, second Suda Shabbos morning, third Suda Shal Shudas. So he held that the second Suda is supposed to be a main Suda, it's supposed to be the biggest Suda. The Shal Shudas should be, if it's not going to be equal, one is going to be bigger than the other, so the Suda Shlishis should be less than the second Suda. Today, Yivet the Yotzis to make the Suda Shlishis much more chashuv than the second Suda. They told me Rav Moshe held that it wasn't proper. But if you have no brayer, you know? Yeah, a lot of people do that. Some people don't leave over any chametz. You mean they get rid of all of the chametz before Shabbos? They get rid of all the chametz before Shabbos. They only have over egg matzah. So there's no problem with Biocha? You have to say the Kol Hamira. You have to say, so in a lot of shuls, the people will be in the middle of davening then. If they're going to daven late, then they're going to rely on the egg mats they can eat later. So the rabbi should announce, everybody should say, before Kriyas HaTorah, everybody should say Kol Hamira. Or if you're going to be davening at the 6 o'clock minyan, you're going to be eating, and then you're going to finish eating at 10 o'clock. So at 5 to 10, you should make the statement, you should make the Kol Hamira then, as you're finishing up the chametz. You have to say the Kol Hamira before it becomes Asabano. Delay next week's end, yeah. Yeah, that's how the Gemara says. Delay next week's end, Rabbi. My son just became bar mitzvah today. He was born 13 years ago on Tuesday on Yud Nisan. So he just became bar mitzvah today. So I asked him to prepare a Dvar Torah on the Parshas HaShavuot. Usually we conclude with a Dvar Torah. So I asked him to prepare something on Parshas Tzav. Come. He's going to say. Yeah? Okay.
I just became a bar mitzvah today, and I would like to see a Dvar Torah on the definition of a mitzvah. Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Tzav quotes from the Torah's Tohanim that a Moshem Tzav el Lashem Zirus miyad el Goros. This means that the Torah mitzvah has a special technical connotation, an obligation which is only a harasha, cannot be referred to as a mitzvah. A mitzvah is a commandment which is binding for all generations. The Rambam in Shorosh Gimel, in the first half of the Sefer Mitzvot, writes that the Tayyag mitzvahs must consist of only those commandments which are binding for all generations. Any obligation which was only intended for a short period of time cannot be counted among the 613 mitzvahs. This idea was brought up by Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal in answering the kasha of the Minchas Kinah. The Torah tells us that we must always obey the instructions of a Navi. In the Chumash we read that one who disobeys the instructions of a Navi, Anochi Adrosh Mi'im, Hashem will punish him. The Gemara tells us that the meaning of that pasuk is, however, I'll do in Navi, Chayev Miso Vidation Mai. Now we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, and all the mitzvahs he commanded us were given to him with Nebuah. So logically it should follow that anyone who violates any of the mitzvahs of the Torah should be Chayev Miso Vidation Mai, because after all, he is being overall divine Nebuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Minchas Tanach and several other Gedolim suggested various dimensions for this kasha. In his testament for his uncle, Rav Avuha Soloveitchik, the Rav suggested the following answer. All of the mitzvahs are divided into two different categories. Those obligations that were only intended to Rasha are labeled as Dibrei Nevuah, while those obligations that are binding with Doros are labeled as Torah mitzvah. The Halacha states that however at Dibrei Navi, Chayev Miso Vidishamayim only applies when the obligation which is violated is only intended to Rasha and is therefore labeled as Dibrei Nevuah. Some of the instructions that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Bnei Yisrael were also La Rasha. For example, Bnei Yisrael were instructed to ask their non-Jewish neighbors for presents before leaving Eretz Mitzrayim. Bnei Yisrael were instructed not to leave over the month to the next morning. These commandments are clearly only intended La Rasha. Anyone who would have violated any commandment of this type would certainly have been Chayav Miso Bidei Shamayim. But anyone who violates any of the regular mitzvahs of the Torah, which are noheges v'doros, is not at all in violation of Dibrei Navi, but is rather in violation of Dibrei Torah and Dibrei Mitzvos, and is therefore not included in the din of Over al Dibrei Navi. With this introduction in mind, we find it difficult to understand the psukim in the beginning of Parsha Shmi. On Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which was the Shmini Lamiluim, Aaron HaKohen was commanded to bring special kabanos, which were never brought on any other occasion, neither before nor after that special day. And nevertheless, these kabanos were referred to here in Pasha Shmini as mitzvot. In Pasuk Vav, in the beginning of Pasha Shmini, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks of these very special kabanos and says, Zeh Adala Asher Tziva Hashem Tasek. In Pasuk Zayin, again, Moshe Rabbeinu refers to these special kabanos with the expression, Asher Tziva Hashem. In Pasuk Yud, the Torah tells us that Aaron and his sons were all these special kabanos, Asher Tziva Hashem is Moshe. Three times in the Pesukim, Bav, Zayin, and Yud, the Torah refers to these special kabanos as mitzvot. The Kasha is an obvious one, since these special kabanos were only brought to Rasha. How can they qualify as mitzvot? The term mitzvah is a technical term which has the connotation of an obligation which applies to Doros. Another Kasha can be raised along the same lines. Rashi, in the beginning of Parshas Matos, quotes from the Sefri that Moshe Rabbeinu would sometimes introduce the divorce with the expression Kol Marashem, as we find the connection with Makas Bechoros. We find the same by other Nabiim, that they also introduced their divorce with the expression of Kol Marashem. But Moshe Rabbeinu had an additional madriga above that of any of all other Nabiim, that he would sometimes introduce his divorce with the expression of Zeh Adavar. In what way does this expression Zeh Adavar indicate that Moshe Rabbeinu's Zavua was on a higher madriga than that of the other Nabiim, who only used the expression Kol Marashem? Rav Levi Yitzchak of Radishchev explains this point to the Sefer in the following way. All of the other Nabiim were given their Nabuah in the form of a vision in a dream. Each Nabi had to interpret the vision that he was shown using his own language while in the state of Hashras Ruach HaKodesh. It is for this reason that the Chacham tell us that even if two Nabiim would be shown the same exact vision, they would not both describe what they had seen in the exact same language. Each Nabiim, Misnagim, Misignor Nefer. And it is for this reason that all the other Nabiim introduced the prophecy with Kol Marashem, which means that this is approximately what Hashem showed. The Nabi is not presenting a direct quotation from Hashem, but rather expressing in his own words a description of the Mara Nabuah that he was shown. Not so Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo Kein Abdi Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was not shown a vision which he had to interpret, but rather was given a direct dictation of Osios and Nekudos. It is for this reason that only Moshe Rabbeinu can introduce his Nabuahs with the expression Zeh Adavar. This phrase means to imply that Moshe Rabbeinu was not using his own words, but rather transmitting the direct dictation that he was given in Hashemayim. So Rav Levi Yitzchak of Radishchev asked, if this is so, how come Moshe Rabbeinu introduced his Zavua of Makas Bechoros with the words Kol Marashem? Why didn't he always use the expression Zeh Adavar? To this Rav Levi Yitzchak explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was given two different types of Nabuahs. Only when the Nabuah was one which consisted of Torah mitzvahs, which were going to be Noeg Udoros, was the Nabuah given with direct dictation, and only then was it possible to use the expression of Zeh Adavar. But the Nabuah about Makas Bechoros did not contain any dinim Udoros. It was only a Rasha, and therefore was not given to Moshe Rabbeinu in a dictation of Osios and Nekudos. Moshe Rabbeinu was shown a vision which he interpreted in his own words, just like all of the other Nabiim always did when they got a Nabuah. Therefore, in introducing this Nabuah, Moshe Rabbeinu had to use the expression Kol Marashem. Following this line of reasoning, we now have a second kasha on the Lashon HaPasuk in the beginning of Parsha Shmini. Moshe Rabbeinu refers to the special kabbalah brought on Shmini Lamiluim with the expression Zeh Adavar Asher Tziva Hashem. How can you use the expression Zeh Adavar if these kabbalahs were only a harasha? You should have said instead Kol Marashem like Makas Bechoros. The Ramban, in both his commentary on the Chumash and at the end of Parshas Nasos, and as well as in his Hasagos on Sefer Mitzvos La Rambam, developed an idea which would answer both of these kashas. The Ramban thinks that it is a mitzvah of Doros to bring special kabbalos whenever one happens to build the base of Mikdash. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, special kabbalos were offered when they built the Mishkan. When Shlomo HaMelech built the first base of Mikdash, again, special kabbalos were brought. When Ezra built the second base of Megdash, special kabbalos were brought. In the end of Sefer Yefestival, we read that when the third base of Megdash will be built, special kabbalos will be brought for an extended period of time, all for the purpose of Chanukah and Megdash. The Ramban feels that which specific kabbalos should be brought is a harasha, But the fact that the Kabbalos must be brought for the purpose of Hamitas HaMikdash is a mitzvah of Doros. Rabban counts the obligation to bring these Kabbalos as one of the 630 mitzvahs. According to this opinion, neither Kasha is difficult at all. We understand very well why the Torah refers to these Kabbalos as mitzvah. We also understand why Moshe introduces this Kasha by saying Zadavar, because although the specific details of these Kabbalos were a Harasha, still the basic mitzvah to bring these Kabbalos was really no Haggis to those. The difficulty still remains, however, according to the Rambam, who did not count the inyan of bringing Kabbalos HaMiluim among the Tayyag mitzvahs. Apparently, he felt that the whole inyan of Miluim was a Harasha. Not only the details of these Kabbalos, but even the basic idea of bringing them at all. So if so, our two kashas are difficult to get. Number one, why are these Kabbalos referred to as mitzvahs? And number two, why is the expression Zadavar used? It should say Ko'amar Hashem. Perhaps one can answer these two kashas based on another point made by the Rabban in his Hasagos to the Sefer HaMitzvot Ba'aram. The Halachos Gedolos counted the mitzvah of Trumas HaMechas as one of the Tayyag mitzvahs. When Bnei Yisrael won the war against the nation Midian, they were commanded to donate a certain percentage of the booty to the Mishkan. It is referred to by the Gemara as Trumas HaMechas. The Rambam disagrees with the Baal Halachos Gedolos and asks that since that mitzvah of Trumas HaMechas was only a harasha and was not Noheges Gedolos, it should not qualify as a mitzvah. The Rambam, in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvot in defense of the Baha'i, makes the following distinction. There are two kinds of harasha. Sometimes there is a harasha for not only the obligation, the chiyuv, only knowing the shah, but even the kiyum only makes sense the shah. For example, in Mitzrayim, the Jews were commanded to ask their non-Jewish neighbors for presents before leaving Mitzrayim. Not only are we required to do the same today, but even if someone were to volunteer on his own to do so today, he would not have any kiyum on mitzvah whatsoever. Similarly, regarding Kriyas Yamsef, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded, Harim Esmat Fa'al Layom, to raise the staff over the Yamsef. Not only does such an obligation no longer exist today, but even if one were to volunteer to do so on his own, there would be no Kiyum HaMitzvah involved at all. And the same is true regarding Harasha that was given in connection with the month. Bnei Yisrael were forbidden to leave over any month till the next morning. Not only is there no such prohibition today against leaving over any food, but even if one were to volunteer on his own, the Torah's Eino Mitzvah Lo'osa, not to leave over any food from one day to the next, this would not constitute a mitzvah at all. But there is another category of harasha, for although the chobah, the obligation to do something, is only l'shah, nonetheless the kiyum involved is knowing the doros. Namely, that although in later generations there was no longer such an obligation, still, if one were to volunteer to do so on his own, he would be in fulfillment of a real mitzvah. This was the case regarding Trumas HaMechas. Whenever anyone donates anything to the Beis HaMikdash, he is in fulfillment of a mitzvah. So although the obligation to donate a specific percent of the booty won in the war was only a Chol HaShah, nonetheless, the Halachos Gedolos considers this as one of the Tayyag mitzvahs. Because of the fact that Kiyum involved in donating something to the Beis HaMikdash constituted a Kiyum HaMitzvah Doros. Along the same line, we can now understand why, even according to the Rambam, who does not think that bringing Karbanos to Chanukas HaMikdash is a Chobah L'Fiyah L'Doros, and therefore does not count it as one of the Tayyag Mitzvahs. Nonetheless, we must admit that there certainly would be a Kiyum L'Doros if one were to bring such Karbanos on his own. Only the Chobah, the obligation involved here, was only the Shah. But the Kiyum was certainly the Doros. Therefore, we understand very well why the Torah refers to these special Kabbalos as mitzvahs, and also why Moshe Rabbeinu was dictated this parsha, the Osios Minakudos. This was a Chovah Shal, which had a Kiyum Doros, and therefore, even this Nebuah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vas Bachlar Yahami Ira, with the clearest dictation rather than B'marav Bachlok. I want to wish everybody a Birchas Simchas HaRegel, and thank you all for participating in the Simcha of Megamot. Thank you.
We have a little mashke and cake outside. Don't come.
Come
in, Phil.
No,
for all his exact.